Patrick Mahomes is getting ready for the big game on Sunday, the Super Bowl, going to be leading the Chiefs. And he gave an interview yesterday, and oddly, out of all the things a reporter could ask him, he asked what his plans were for Valentine's Day.
No.
Yeah, and this is what he said.
I didn't even notice it was coming up, so don't tell her I said that, but I'll make sure I have some plans now, and I think I don't know when it is. I know it's February 14th. I just know what day of the week. I don't know what day of the week, but I'll make sure to make plans now. I appreciate you reminding me.
He always sounds like he's being chased out of the pocket in a game. Like, he literally, like, that's how he talks. He sounds like he's a scatterbrained crazy person.
I feel like he sounds like a Muppet, like you do.
I feel
like you guys sound very similar, actually.
Well, thank you. I wish I had half his talent, as a matter of fact.
But I was thinking, if I was his wife, Brittany, right?
Hmm.
She's got her hands full. She got two little kids at home, the whole nine yards, all that. But, like, your husband gets a pass for Valentine's Day when he's worried about winning the Super Bowl on Sunday, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he also gets a pass given the fact that they're probably worth $200 million as a couple. Like, there's certain things that you're just going to have to account for, and she can plan that stuff. Like, she's one of these online types, right? I'm sure she's got a hack for every one of these things. So she can put together her dream Valentine's Day. I know that she likes it when he wins, so if he brings home the Lombardi trophy, that's a pretty nice little bling bling for the Tuesday following the big game.
Right. And I was thinking, if you ever needed an excuse on why you forgot it was Valentine's Day, being the star quarterback in the Super Bowl is probably a good excuse, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's much better than anything I would come up with. My wife wouldn't accept any of my answers.
All right. So proper excuses for forgetting that it's Valentine's this year. Go. Mm.
I had no money left over because you wanted your own Kelce Brothers jersey.
Oh.
I had to buy two jerseys. Those things are pricey, man.
Okay. I was busy chasing the Chinese spy balloon.
Oh.
I figured, you know what? It took the government a little while to take it down. I would just kind of chase it around the country myself. I've been busy running around.
My iPhone is updating.
Oh. Leonardo DiCaprio is now dating a 19-year-old. So I had to watch Titanic, and that movie is really long. It's like over 3 hours. So I totally forgot about Valentine's Day.
At my age, the Super Bowl hangover takes 72 hours.
Ah, that's definitely not a good excuse. That wouldn't fly in my house. You know what would fly in my house?
What's that?
I've been asleep since 2020. We're not still in a pandemic. I thought they canceled it because of COVID.
Anna and Raven's Hell of a Story.
Do you have a hell of a story? Whenever you tell that story, people are like, that happened to you? That's crazy. You could always let us know about it, and it'll be your turn to be the storyteller on the air. Head to annaonraven.com. Now, Jack, your hell of a story is straight up weird.
What happened, Jack?
Yeah, how do you think I feel? My goodness. About 2012, was Halloween. I was on my way to a party. Left early because I wanted to have set up, and I had a friend come over who was into theatrical makeup, and we did this really, really detailed face of the Grim Reaper. I mean, we spent hours, like, darkening the eye sockets and you know, shading the white with the black, and drawing in the teeth, and it was really, really good. Put on a black bathrobe with a hood, and it looked like I got into the car. Actually, I had a sickle with me that went through the sunroof.
Good.
I was went to the party, and I got caught in this very slow stream of traffic, and I was just, moving along with my sickle sticking out of the sunroof, and all of a sudden, people started to beep their horns, and I heard people screaming. They were actually rolling down their windows and saying, get out, get out, get out. And it took a while, but I realized that I was caught in a funeral procession.
As the Grim Reaper.
So the people that were screaming at you, are these good Samaritans that are driving by the opposite direction? Are these people on the sides of the roads, you know, offended by your appearance there? Or are these actually people in the family that are telling you that if you don't get lost quick enough, we're going to drag you out of your vehicle and beat you amongst the head?
I think it was a combination of everything.
Hmm.
Moving along, and I didn't know what to do. It was a tight space, and the horns were still going. And all of a sudden, a cop pulls up on a motorcycle. I rolled down the window, and he said, what do you think you're doing? And I tried to pass it off, and I tried to be funny. I said, no, officer, I don't know what happened. You know, I'm supposed to be in the front of the line.
Oh, good. Good.
And he just looked at me, and he said, look, traffic's going to pull up. Why don't you take a quick left and get out of this line? quite an interesting bit of an afternoon.
Yeah, it's the best cocktail hour story at the Halloween party, right? Yeah. When you show up with that one.
Yeah.
It's also an example of a cop making a great choice quickly, right? You know, like some people, they'd be like, I don't know what you got to do. You got to go where you got to go. This is the only way you can get on the ramp. The cop immediately says, no, no, no. We're going to go up here to the left. You're going to take this turn, and then we're going to be over with it. That's a good allocation of tax services when he's like, no, no, no. Let me wave you through this light. You're good. Get out of here.
It's a bad time to have a funeral, you know, like right around Halloween.
Yeah, I guess it's rough, right?
I mean, I guess you don't have a choice at that point. What's happened has happened.
The sickle up the sunroof is kind of next level.
Yeah. Just imagine you're in that funeral procession with grandma, and all of a sudden you look in the rearview mirror, and you're like, wait a minute. The Grim Reaper is driving the Honda behind us.
Is everybody else seeing this, or is it just me?
Well, it's a hell of a story, Jack. You're right.
Yeah.
You have a hell of a story, too. Head to annaonraven.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that's driving you crazy right now? It's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Pam.
If you're over 16 years old and you're still breaking up with people via text, that's all I need to know about you.
You know, I haven't been single in the iPhone, smartphone age. Like, I mean, we had cell phones, we had pagers, we had all that when I met my wife. It was my first or second iPhone, but texting was still kind of a thing that you only did real quick for business or whatever. So it wasn't really the thing to do then. Nowadays, though, heck, I might send you a 10-second video clip.
I think if you've been with somebody, you've been dating someone for more than 6 weeks, it can't be a text. It has to at least be a phone call.
Huh.
I think so.
I guess.
Yeah. We actually got a text, Pam, oddly, on our text line. Her sister was 40 years old, and the guy she was seeing, who she set her up with, broke up with her via text.
Oh, that's not cool. If you're a friend of a friend, too, like, you got to take it the extra mile. You got to be totally polite.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's a call-in. Like, that's like a hookup, and then that's how you treat her. That's stinky.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Fran, that's all I need to know about you.
If you leave your fish in the fridge for more than 5 days, that's all I need to know about you.
Stinky. Actually, I had a similar situation recently. I had a bag of shrimp. It was frozen shrimp. And you know, the thing is, you take the frozen shrimp out of the freezer, you put it in the fridge till it defrosts, and then you eat it. Well, it took too long to defrost, so that I didn't eat it the first day. Then the second day, it still felt like it was pretty frozen. So I was like, you know what? I'll just give it another day. But the third day, it goes to thaw. I think to myself, wow, it's getting pretty stinky in this fridge. I realized there was a hole in the bag.
Ew.
Yeah. Ruined everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife. Not happy.
One time I had fish leftovers and I got violently ill.
Mm.
And ever since then, I can't do it. There's something about like fish leftovers I cannot reheat up and think it's okay.
And the smell just gets into everything. Like, I don't even care. Like, if it's in a sealed container, something else is in a sealed container. When you go to eat that, you're going to be like, do I taste fish?
I was at an event recently, actually, Raven, with your wife, Alicia. They had an entire, they had a giant charcuterie board where you could pick all the cheese and whatever. And they also had a giant display of cocktail shrimp. It was the most cocktail shrimp I've ever seen in my life. Mountains of it.
I love shrimp.
Nope. I looked at it and we went into the event at 8 o'clock it began. And it ended, it was after 10. And as I'm walking out, there's still mountains of shrimp. And all I kept thinking is, how long you'll still eat those cocktail shrimp that are just sitting there? Now, granted, they're on ice, but it is shrimp that is exposed to all the people for an extended period of time. Like, what? Because I was like, it turned my stomach on the way out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, that's disgusting.
If I get into the ballroom at like 1 a.m., I'm probably going to get some of them shrimp.
Still?
Yeah, low, close to the ice, close to the ice.
Oh.
Hey, Jewel, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you call red sauce gravy, that's all I need to know about you.
Mm. I agree. Well.
This is a big debate here, right? There's stipulations to this.
If there's, in my house, if you're making a pot of sauce, it's sauce.
Right.
But if there's meat in it,
right,
then it's the meat from the gravy.
100%.
That's how it kind of works around my place.
Yeah, that's the way it works in my family, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that stipulation in your vocabulary, or have you not considered this option?
We're still, me and my mother-in-law are still in the argument that red sauce isn't gravy regardless.
No matter
what's in it, she calls it gravy.
Yeah, no, until there's meat in there, sauce.
Right.
That's what I said.
Well,
Yeah.
Thank you for settling that, guys.
No worry. A little also buco in there, a little bit of sausage.
Stop it.
We got ourselves
hungry.
A party.
Stop it.
Yeah, we're hungry, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday is all about small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. And how many times have you heard you should be making your bed every single morning?
Mm.
Yeah, they even wrote that book, Naval Admiral McCraven. Remember he wrote that book, Make Your Bed, Little Things That You Can Do to Change Your Life and Maybe the World?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about getting up and getting motivated and taking charge and taking stock, basically. You know, have one success and it leads to the next.
Exactly. That's his whole thought process behind it. And there's actually research that's come out of the National Sleep Foundation and says that if you make your bed every morning, it improves your sleep quality as well. They said that you have about a 20% chance more of having a better night's sleep if your bed is made when you get into it.
Okay, so why are these crazy people telling us not to?
Because it's real nasty. Now they're saying you should not be making your bed every morning, and here's the guy from the internet explaining.
Making your bed in the morning traps dust mites that have accumulated overnight. These microscopic predators, which are less than a millimeter long, feed on the scales of human skin and thrive in moist environments.
I mean, so what? So if you don't make the bed, they're free to roam? Is that what you're telling me, man? And then they're going to free graze somewhere else so they won't be on my body? Because that sounds crazy.
When we sleep at night, our bodies become warm and sweaty, making us prime targets for these mites to feed on us.
So they're living in our beds, these little tiny mites.
Yes.
And then when we're sweaty at night, they just come at us in all kinds of ways. It gets worse, Raven.
Oh, boy.
So making your bed in the morning traps all this moisture and provides a home for 1.5 million of these bad boys.
1.5 million of them, these bad boys coming at you.
Let me tell you something. I just had a doctor's appointment a couple weeks ago. All right. One of the things we were discussing, allergies and problems with my sinuses. And you know what she said? Put my my bed in a plastic bag. You know how they've got those mattress, you know, bags or whatever they put on there. And she's like, anytime you buy a bed, she's like, after 6 months, it's full of these things anyway. She's like, you can't clean it. You can't vacuum it. You can't steam it out. It makes no difference whatsoever.
So what are you supposed to do? You sleep with it in a bag?
Put it in a bag. Basically, it's like a plastic case that goes around your mattress, and then you put the sheet on it. I mean, I don't like the idea. It's not going to let it breathe the same way, but you can't do anything about dust mites.
Well, they're saying if you don't trap them, like when you make the bed in the morning.
And then where do they go? If I'm not trapping them, where are they going?
Funny you should ask.
Oh.
Instead, leave your bed messy just for a while. It exposes these mites to air and sunlight, which dehydrates them and causes them to die.
That's why when you take the corner off and you do the thing where you shake the sheet and you see all that dust go out, that's just the 1.5 million bad boy mites being dead and being thrown off your bed.
I mean, I guess my bed would need to be in direct sunlight, so it's so intensive that these dust mites are just burning off.
I don't know why you're so mad at science. I don't know why. But at least
I don't believe anything he's saying.
It does make sense because if you've ever done the thing where the corner shake, where you know all the stuff goes flying off,
right?
Clearly, there's things that are in your bed and like the skin from your body and all that other stuff.
Just leaving it unmade for 20 minutes, I don't think is going to kill that off.
If you make it, now you're trapping them under there, and you know what they're doing under there? They're making more dust mite babies.
They're breeding.
Yes.
They're breeding dust mites.
Yes.
I'm not sure about the relations of dust mites and how their procreation works, but I assure you I'm going to Google that after this.
Well, one of the bigger questions that goes hand in hand with this, Raven, and I feel like it's like an old age question everybody always talks about is how often should you be changing your sheets? And I was really shocked by the new research on that. It's coming up next. Turns out you shouldn't be making your bed every morning. That's according to new research because you're trapping the mites and you're creating a warm breeding ground for them.
Okay, whatever. If you say so, Mr. Internet guy.
Here is the internet doctor explaining why again.
Leave your bed messy just for a while. It exposes these mites to air and sunlight, which dehydrates them and causes them to die.
Right. So basically, you just want to let the sun come in for them to dry up and they're dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the word I meant.
Sounds like intense sunlight to me. Sounds like a good amount of time. I mean, I haven't really checked out the death, thralls of a dust mite. I don't know how long it takes, but okay, doc.
But there is another way to protect yourself from the gross mites that feast on your skin. And it's kind of obvious. You wash your sheets, right? Now, we have the recommendation from a doctor on how often you're supposed to be doing that. You're going to hear it in a minute. I'll tell you right now, it was surprising. It's not what I do. But first, we run around the office to ask our coworkers how often they're washing their bed sheets.
Oh, every week. Yeah, I like flannel sheets this time of year, so I have to change them every week.
First of all, flannel sheets. I am always cold. They make me so sweaty. I don't know how people sleep in them.
Flannel sheets, to me, I only want to encounter that like in a cabin. To me, like, it's just, yeah, it's not a material that I like to sleep on. And it's not the only one, but yeah, not something I want for my sheets.
It's a really bad answer because I think it is like once a month.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
That's like when I was in college. When I was in college, I don't think I would change my sheets once a month. I used to have my roommate. Her mom would come,
yeah,
and she would put four layers of sheets on.
Yeah.
And then every week she would take off one of the layers.
She would just rip one off.
Yeah, which was really smart to me. And as an adult, I'm not sure why I don't do that. But imagine not changing your sheets for 4 weeks and not being in college.
I mean, honestly, though, can a dust mite make its way through a sheet? So I don't think that would really do it for internet doctor guy. So I don't know about the four layer thing. I mean, if it goes 2 weeks in my house, my wife's skin is crawling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, she likes to do it more than that.
But she explains why she waits 4 weeks.
It's I should probably change it more often, but I don't know. I just don't. It's hard.
That's not really an explanation. that's not an acceptable explanation whatsoever.
We asked another one of our coworkers.
Every 2 weeks. I know that by heart because I have my cleaning lady do it for me. I only have her do it because I have this really, really big bed, California King. And you ever see me try to make a bed is not okay. I'm too short, so then one side comes up, and then I go to the other side, so I just give up.
I will say that I have a difficult time with that, too.
Yeah.
I'm always running from one edge to the other, like a diagonal, and then I make it to one, I get it on, I go to the other one, and then it flies off, and I don't understand what I'm doing wrong.
You got
to
get the deep sheets, the deep ones that you know, kind of curl around it.
Mm-hmm.
Regular ones, they just, you know, one of the corners will pop off when you go to the other corner.
Yeah, I'm learning that. I bought Amazon sheets for my daughter's bed, and it's been an issue.
Yeah.
We asked another one of our coworkers how often he changes his sheets.
Once per week. I have three sets that I rotate between.
You have multiple sets of sheets?
I have three.
How many do you have, Raven, at your house?
At least four or five.
Really?
Yeah, at least four or five sheets.
Oh, we have two
sets of sheets.
We have two sets for each bed in our house. So like ours and then our daughters each have two sets each.
Mm-hmm.
But we change about every 2 weeks too. That's our average.
Yeah.
And this is what the doctor said.
Most experts agree that you can wash your sheets about once a week and be probably just fine. However, I would say if you sweat a lot, if you sleep with Fido, if you're doing other things in the bed, you know what I mean? Make sure you're washing your sheets more often than once a week.
Oh my gosh, I never even thought, like, once a week to me sounds like a lot.
What does she mean, like, doing other things in the bed? Taxes?
Yeah, your taxes, eating.
Folding laundry?
Eating a steak, pizza maybe.
Right.
Like, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. All about LeBron James. Last night, LeBron James became the NBA's all-time leading scorer when he made his 38,388th point late in the third quarter of the Lakers-Thunder game. Here is what it sounded like.
Looking for James. He's got it. LeBron James, a shot in history.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Sure. I mean, people will still have that endless debate till the end of time. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Well, let's discuss that. There's a couple things I want to talk about here. One.
You want to tell me your views on who's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Absolutely not.
I didn't think so.
We both know that I have no say in that whatsoever. But, you know, he surpassed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career record.
Yes.
And Kareem was there and he, you know, to watch him and did like a ceremony afterwards where like they passed him on the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kind of like symbolic.
Passing the baton,
yeah,
the torch,
exactly.
Yes.
Now, if you're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
mm-hmm.
are you happy or sad that this has happened?
Well, listen, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has become a lot of things since he was a basketball player and while he was a basketball player too. And he's very much like a civil rights guy. He's a guy who, you know, kind of gets involved in politics and all those type of things. He's a bit of a protest type guy. And he's been critical of LeBron in the past as far as, like, he thinks LeBron should be using his voice for more than just business or whatever. So, on the one hand, I think he acknowledges that LeBron James is a great player, but nobody likes to give up something that you were the greatest at of all time, I don't think.
Because I was watching it. I was watching all the videos, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If that was me, I mean, obviously you have to put on a brave face and you have to be like, I'm so proud.
Sure.
And like, you know, and I'm here we are and all that. But other part of me would be like, Nah, it was good to see that, hold that till I died, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's part of the organization, too, over there, the Lakers. So, I mean, again, yeah, it's all part of that front. Listen, you want the access? You want to go to the games for free? You want that front seat? You know, all that? It's kind of all part of it. You want to be welcomed into the building?
So, obviously, he was there, which brings up the next point. It's like, there were people there, there were fans that paid up to $69,000 a seat
to be able
to see him make history. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh. Yeah. Imagine paying $69,000 for a ticket to that game last night, and he didn't do it.
Well, you know, here's, like, I mean, I don't think there was any doubt he was going to do it, but they didn't win the game. They lost the game by 3 points. The Lakers just can't put together enough victories right now. Everybody wants to see him. You know, if you're a fan of his, I think you want to see him get another title. If you're a fan of the Lakers, you want to see him. And it's a question of whether or not it's going to happen. Like, you can't get enough people over there to play healthy and be there throughout the year.
You could not. I mean, there's no, I mean, because I don't have that money, but I can't imagine $69,000 to keep my fingers crossed that he's going to break a record that night.
Yeah.
Also, I should note, State of the Union is trending as well. We're not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Like, right.
Right. Yeah.
LeBron James should have went there.
Yeah. It would have been better. Yeah.
And dunked on a few people there. That would have been great.
Sydney Warner, she's the wife of the 49ers Pro Bowl linebacker Fred Warner. She went on TikTok over the weekend to share NFL secrets. And a lot of fans were surprised by the secrets that she shared. There's a couple that just don't make sense to me. I don't know why the NFL would do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go here. For it.
Yep.
So number one is they get a paycheck just like every other normal job, just like everyone else.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
We knew that. I mean, that's not some sort of revelation.
But she said that she thought, like, you get, like, one lump sum, like, when you win the lottery. Like a Brinks truck just shows up your house with, like, $14 million.
It's
like, here
week.
You go.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who runs a business could tell you that, you know, it makes a lot more sense to pay your people weekly, bi-weekly, whatever.
Yeah.
There's reasons for it.
That makes sense.
You're not allowed to spend the night with your significant other on away games or home games. For away games, they are obviously in a hotel, but if I choose to go to that same hotel, we're not allowed to be in the same room. And then home games, they also sleep in a hotel.
That one was the most surprising to me. Because why wouldn't you sleep in your own bed the night before a game? Wouldn't you be the most productive if you slept in your own bed?
No, I don't think so. And it allows you to have all the distractions of your regular life and get yourself into trouble. I mean, frankly, a lot of times these people that are in relationships, you're thinking of everybody that's in sports as some sort of stable family type person. A lot of these guys are 22, 23, 24 years old, just got out of college. Frankly, they're in relationships that are a bit of a mess, and these things get messy before games. How many times have you seen this in the news?
I don't like that. I was like, I can't imagine that if my husband is like in the NFL, and the night before game, he's always got to be in a hotel, or if we travel to a game, and then we can't even be in the same hotel room.
You hear that, Paul? Weird. So if you had an NFL career, Anna wouldn't have allowed it because she didn't like the fact that you had to sleep at the stadium.
All your tickets to games, home and away, are not free. You have to pay for all of them. They are at a discounted rate, but they're not free.
Your wife doesn't get a free ticket to the game?
No, not every single week. There's 53 people on the team. Imagine how many people that is in your family or whatever that wants to go to the game. Buy your ticket. I mean, at least you didn't have to stand in a line.
I thought that was shocking. I thought that your wife doesn't get to go to the, and they'd also, you know how when you see them on the sidelines down there?
Yes.
They're not allowed to be there. Like, they can't just decide to go down there. You have to get written permission from the team for each game to go down there.
Yes, for security purposes.
I don't know.
I mean, again, that would be like 300 people on the sideline every weekend.
Our stadium provides daycare for women with babies that if they want to drop them off, they have to be, I think, 6 to 8 months old. And then you drop them off before the game starts and you pick them up fourth quarter.
That seems great. That's really cool.
I mean, all the rest of this stuff that you're complaining about is like basically, like you said, you think they won the lottery and everything's all set from then on.
No, the daycare thing I think is awesome. But I mean, you have to pick them up during the fourth quarter. What if it's a really good game? You don't want to like leave during the fourth quarter. You're like,
I'm sure they have exceptions, Timmy. Right.
Yeah, sure. Tim, you know, sorry, honey, yeah. I can't watch the end of this game. But this last one.
Well, here's the thing. You're not having that conversation with your spouse because you're not on the sideline.
That's true.
You're in the stands.
But listen to this last one.
After every game, they have food for the players to take home. So it'll be like Chick-fil-A or Mexican or Chipotle or something delicious.
I mean, you guys are spoiled. That's all I'm saying. She gets to leave with bags full of Chick-fil-A and you're upset she had to buy her ticket. The daycare was included. Seems like a pretty good deal.
It's just interesting to me. It just seems like, you know, if you've made it to the NFL, you kind of have everything. But then she's so excited about the Chick-fil-A, and she's like, get delicious food. Like, and don't get me wrong, Chick-fil-A is awesome. But I'm surprised that for a team that is so concerned about the well-being of their players that they can't even sleep with their wives the night before, that they're going to fuel them on fried chicken. That seemed a little surprising to me.
Calories to burn, yeah. Man.
Gel manicures, you probably have gotten one or two in your lifetime, right? But are they actually really bad for you? Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, what is going on? Like, all of a sudden, we're not supposed to be getting gel manicures anymore?
This is a new study that just came out in the middle of January. It's in a journal that's pretty respected called Nature. And it talks a little bit about the UV light that's used to dry the nails that you actually need when having a gel manicure. So the UV light is what the study is highlighting as dangerous to the nail and the nail bed. And unfortunately, the news isn't great. This study sort of summarizes what some other studies before have said, and it looked at people that use gel manicures chronically. Some of them came up with rare skin cancers. Others had damage to the nail bed, premature aging. A little bit dangerous, and a lot of dermatologists are cautioning women not to get gel manicures.
I'll say, all right, I have so many questions. Okay, so gel manicures have destroyed my nails. Like,
right.
Usually, like...
It's a thing.
Right, so usually they grow back stronger, and then I wait like 6 months, and then I get it again, and then I do it like a vicious cycle. But they're not getting stronger again. Have I reached a point in my life where I've destroyed my nails forever because of the gel manicure?
I think the issue is that a lot of the damage that's done to the cuticles and the nails based on these UV rays is something that can be reparable. So your nails and the cuticles will repair themselves. The issue is that, you know, if you stop doing these gel manicures and you stop exposing yourself to the UV light, the nails and the cuticles and the hands will hopefully bounce back. But unfortunately, you know, for the hand, the skin, the loss of collagen and elasticity is something that's going to remain there. But I think your nails will go back to normal if you just stop doing the gel manicures.
You know, Doc, this makes me kind of nervous here because don't they use like UV lighting when they're doing like tooth repairs too, right? Is this the same type of thing? Is this just a study that they haven't gone into yet?
Well, and you know, that raises another issue, right? We're all exposed to UV light when we go outside. The problem is that if you concentrate that light for a period of time and you do it over and over again, that's when the damage occurs. Usually in a dentist office, it's an LED light that's not going to do the same sort of damage. It's not UV light pointed at your eyes and pointed at your face in order to, you know, in your mouth to light up your teeth. It's usually a high sort of density LED light. Fortunately, it's not UV radiation. But when it comes to these nails, and in order to polymerize the nails, that's what it's called, UV light is required for a gel manicure. So some women that are up on these studies will go in and actually say, you know, in the manicure place, I don't want UV light. And they're told that it's LED, but it isn't.
Are powder manicures still cool, or do we have to X out those too?
Fortunately, powder manicures tend to have a higher safety rating than the gel manicures. But again, what I want to caution people is that more studies need to be done in order to summarize this cause and effect. And so, you know, I often find in medicine that women are used as guinea pigs, unfortunately, and there aren't a lot of studies out there talking about gel manicures, talking about UV light. But the best news and the most caution comes from dermatologists who really caution women from getting gel manicures over and over again.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
The Philadelphia police are greasing light poles around the city, getting ready for the Super Bowl on Sunday, because when Eagles win, people climb light poles.
Listen, nothing is more festive than flipping over a couple cars, tossing a couple Molotov cocktails, and climbing a light pole and bringing it down in the middle of traffic.
Joe Moravsky, American Ninja Warrior, our buddy and friend of the show. Joe, we made you come in because we want to ask you, is it possible to climb a greased light pole?
Well, I have to say, I have a ton of experience doing obstacles, but I have zero experience climbing greased poles.
I've never known a samurai to make excuses.
I think it's possible. I mean, of course, they find a way. I'm sure there's a few ways to do it. I've been kind of thinking about it.
At least they've gotten the light poles to be stronger. Used to be they'd climb up, jump all over them, and bring them down like goalposts at a college game. I saw they had 7 or 9 people on one the other day. And whatever they're doing with the Philadelphia Steel, they must be importing it from Pittsburgh. They're doing a good job because those things held up pretty good.
They use a product called BioBottle Jack Hydraulic Fluid ISO 32 when greasing the poles.
Okay.
It's biodegradable, environmentally friendly, and it doesn't cause much irritation when it comes into contact with human skin.
Why are we not using this to lubricate everything and every mechanical device on the planet? Why can't we be driving our cars on this stuff? Sounds like a fake product.
So when you're training for American Ninja Warrior, what do you do to get your grip strong?
Yeah, well, you know what? I coach at a gym in Stanford Ninja Academy. And, you know, the kids that I coach there, they always complain about sweaty hands. My hands are slipping. I can't hold on. And back when I was on the show years and years ago, because I've been doing this 10 years now, I had the same problem. And I would ask my fellow ninjas, hey, what do you do to overcome that? And they said, well, Joe, it's very simple. Squeeze harder. I was like, are you kidding me?
No. I was waiting for something that you were going to tell us to do. Yeah.
Well, it's true, though. And so what I ended up showing my kids that I coach at the gym is, listen, guys, if I can spray my hands with water right now and get on this obstacle, then why can't you just squeeze a little bit harder? It kind of does work. We host league competitions at the gym every once in a while. I've thought about what the rules would say within this league if I can, like, throw a little Vaseline on the obstacle.
Yeah.
Like, just make things interesting. Now, but the problem is, you got to clean it up after. But it's an interesting concept for the Philly police to be putting this grease all over the poles. It's a great idea, and it's something that should be tested out. Like, how do we climb these poles?
I mean, it sounds to me like Joe's Ninja Gym. They're doing the same type of training as in, like, season 2 Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Like it sounds crazy, but I mean, you're right. Like, if you need to, you'll find the energy to squeeze harder.
I am not a good climber. I've never been able to climb a tree. I certainly would never be able to climb a rope or a pole. So I'm going to stand back while you guys attempt to do this. Do you pull with your hands up? Or do you wrap your legs around the pole? Do you use your shoes? Like, what is the leverage to actually climb a pole?
You know, I have climbed ropes. I've climbed poles as a kid, of course, like climbing a flagpole or something. It does kind of differ. You know, when you're climbing a rope, yeah, it's hands and feet. You can do it hands only. You could wrap your thighs. There's a few different ways to do it. When you climb a pole, same idea. Now, I can't speak on something that's greased. It's kind of a new world for me, something to think about that. And so I would imagine more points of contact would maybe be better. I also thought, why not bring some isopropyl alcohol as you climb? Try to, like, use that and, like, or I don't know, like, climb with a towel or something, some sort of rag.
I mean,
now, I'm not condoning this.
Right. Every Philly
for anybody,
fan will be
thinking
that.
Yeah. But I think the best course of action, honestly, would to be, you know, hey, buddy, come over here and, like, get on my shoulders or pull up the car next to the pole. But like I said, I do not condone this behavior.
Mm. No. All right, well, we're going to try this outside with the light pole outside of our offices.
Oh, jeez.
Now, I don't have BioBottle Jack Hydraulic Fluid ISO 32, but I do have a spray bottle of Pam that I took from my kitchen. We're going to go outside and see if Joe Moravsky from American Ninja Warrior can climb this light pole. It's coming up next. Philadelphia police are busy greasing all the light poles. Because if the Eagles win the Super Bowl Sunday, it's been a problem in the past where people climb these light poles. So right now, Raven, producer John, and producer Sean are outside with America Ninja Warrior Joe Moravsky. We didn't have any of that special grease. I brought a bottle of Pam that was in my kitchen cabinet. Should we have checked with somebody before we did this?
I mean, who do you want to talk to? The people that own the building?
I mean,
insurance carriers?
Whatever. If anybody
about liability issues, you want to talk to? A personal injury attorney? No, we're not going to talk to anybody. We've got a ninja here.
All right.
You know, the amazing thing is, thank God it's a beautiful day out here, because to see the Pam on the pole, you think to yourself, today's a great day for a barbecue. I mean, this thing is super slick. Joe is testing it right now, just putting his hands on it. And the amount of butter spray that's coming off on his hands, I mean, this is going to be very, very difficult. If he makes it 10 feet in the air, I will be unbelievably impressed.
Now that I'm standing here and look at this, the more clothes I think to wear, the grease pole, you're probably better off because that ceiling's going to kind of absorb some of that grease. So I'm almost wishing I brought a long sleeve shirt.
Joe, are you ready? Let's do this.
You know, I'm never ready. That's the trick. So let's do it.
All right, Joe, go ahead and have that. Philly just won the Super Bowl. You're an Eagles fan. You're in the middle of the city. They've greased the pole, but you've got to celebrate.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's got it. He's got it. Look at him. Oh, he's sliding down. He's sliding down. Uh-oh. He's going to ruin that shirt.
Jumped in like a koala on a pencil. He's trying to wipe it off. Nothing's impossible for a ninja, Joe.
All right, he's going for a third time. He's climbing up. He's holding. He's sliding right down the pole.
Hey, you know what, John? You give it a shot for a minute, and then we'll get the ninja back in here. Just think about it a little bit. Hold on.
All right, so what's happening right now?
John's going to try now.
All right, so American Ninja Warrior Joe Moraski could not do it, but now producer John is trying to climb. He just keeps sliding down, but now he's talking to the pole.
What's that, Joe?
Question is now at this point, how high are they greasing these poles and filling?
Well,
if there is a mark, you know, where they stop, maybe they just only go where they can reach, then maybe we do try to jump above it.
Well, as you mentioned too there, you know, a lot of times you're coming out of the game, you got your boys with you, right? I mean, there's a group of you. So, John, if you assist Joe, maybe Joe can get up high enough on that pole.
Are we doing this?
Yes. Yeah.
What's happening now is that... American Ninja Warrior Joe Moraski climbed over John's shoulders to get above the grease. He's really high. He's really high, but he's dragging the grease with him. This looks dangerous. He's going to be on the next season. We should probably let him come down now. Oh, my gosh. This looks really dangerous.
Right on that cusp there where he's got grease by his feet, but his hand's up on the pole, but he's still got so much ham spray on his hand. And actually, he just went back down. And at this exact moment, a majestic turkey vulture has landed close by.
Oh.
And I think it's waiting for one of us to fall and hurt ourselves so that they have a nice lunch. Yeah, I think that this is going to be a loss here.
It's a loss. Yeah, I'm thinking you need a ladder for this or something. I don't know how these guys do it. If they do it, sign up for Ninja. Let me tell you that right now. Oh, my God.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. It's up to you to decide who's right. Isabel and Cody, let's start with you, Isabel. What's going on?
So this is about our house where we live. So we bought our house about 5 years ago, you know, before the pandemic. We really like it. We're happy there. We had no intention of selling it anytime soon. We just happened to receive this letter in the mail, and it's an offer to buy our house. And we followed up on it, and it's actually a real person and a real offer. However, I don't want to leave. I'm like, where are we going to go? I would rather just stay where we are and, you know, leave well enough alone.
Okay. And Cody, what's your side of this?
Okay. So it's a lot of money. It's way more than our house is worth. And I don't think it's a bad idea to sell, because I think that if we just sell, we can go live with my parents for a few years. We could wait till the housing prices come down. And, like, I think, like, this is just, like, a perfect idea. Like, because once we do find a good house, we're going to have so much extra money that we're going to be set for a few years. Like, we go on a vacation or something.
But I don't want to go live with your parents and, you know, and bring our son and uproot. You know, I just don't want to do that. That doesn't sound good.
I mean, you're saying uproot, but we'd be moving just a couple of blocks away. So he would get to keep all his, like, same friends and go to the same school. And, like, his life would be basically the same. Plus, we would get to spend time with his grandparents.
Oh, that's tough.
Well, he already does. And our life would not be better. I don't want to live with your parents. I want the three of us to continue living together in the house that we really like. Money isn't everything.
This is
I mean, it is, though.
Hey, listen.
It's not everything.
I get it. You know, this is a tricky situation, right? I mean, timing is everything, right? I'm sure that you wish that you bought your house when it was super low, and that you, when you decide to sell it, you know, you're going to make a huge windfall. I mean, that's what everybody wants, right?
Yeah.
You know, on the other hand, you know, you're betting on the market to decline for the next couple of years, which plenty of experts say is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's no guarantees in life, right? And then, you know, how do you know if you find the right house? And so many things can happen. Giving up peace of mind in your home is also tough, too. Living with somebody else is inherently more difficult than it is living just amongst the few of you with your family. So there's a lot of variables here.
I mean, this is an argument I have all the time with my family, because, you know, it's like, if you can make that quick money now and you can cash out, it can be a big difference in your life going forward.
Yeah.
And a big investment for your child's future. But it's inconvenient. Like, nobody wants to go live with their mother-in-law and father-in-law when they didn't, that wasn't the plan.
Yeah. The thing is, too, is, you know, it's just been my experience in life is that things come up. Let's say you get this money and then you move in with your parents or whatever. And let's say that situation is fine. Other things have a way of coming up to need to be paid for. And instead of maybe taking out the loan that you would have, you know, if you were dealing with this at another time in your original house, you're just going into that lump sum, and it becomes easier and easier to do that. And maybe that nest egg is not as big as you think it is when you turn around.
Well, why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because maybe they agree with you, Isabella. Don't sell the house. You know what? You're not ready to. That wasn't the plan. You don't want to, and you're going to stay. But you may see Cody's side, too. If you can cash out right now, like a lot of people are, put that money away, move into your in-laws' house, and then be able to find something bigger and better over time, and live rent-free, essentially, why wouldn't you take advantage of something like that?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's an offer you can't refuse unless you actually refuse it. Isabel and Cody, they got one of those letters in the mail where I really want to buy your house, but it was a real offer and it was a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that Cody says, we should do this. We should sell our home. We should go live with my parents. We'll take that bankroll. We'll look for another year and we'll be able to buy a bigger, better house and have this extra cash.
Yeah, you know, when you're looking at the numbers and they're right there in front of you, you know, when you theorize things, that's one thing. When you have an offer, when you have something down on paper and you look at it and you go, wow, you know, that really makes a difference. It's hard to say no sometimes.
This happens a lot lately. I do it myself. I put letters in people's mailboxes.
Sure.
Yeah, but what do you think? Because Isabel doesn't want to move. She's like, I like where we are. I don't want to go live with your parents and like save for a year. It's not the plan. That is not the plan. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Vanessa, whose side are you on?
I'm on definitely the wife's side. So I think that, you know, the husband just needs to think a little bit more in depth about this, you know. Okay, the money might be good, but there's definitely more things to consider. Is the family, is his family right now happy in their home? Is his son happy? Is his wife happy? Other than this offer coming up, was he happy? Did he have plans of moving? So I think, like, if all of the answers to that is that, yes, everyone was happy, was good in their home, had no plans of leaving, I don't think that the money should alter to be what he chooses over what his wife is genuinely happy with.
Who said are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Isabel and Cody, they got one of those letters in their mailbox that somebody really wanted to buy their home. Completely true buyer. And they're offering a lot of money for their home. Cody thinks, we have to take advantage. I know we weren't planning on moving, but we can move in with my parents, save some money, could buy a dream house, have all this extra cash.
His argument is, it's not going to displace us all that much. The kids get to stay in the same school system. It's right here in town, just a few blocks from our house. We can manage this. But Isabel says, we're not ready to move. I like this house. Why are we going to do this?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Avery.
100% her side. I could not imagine living with my mother-in-law. So, I mean, that sounds like a death sentence to your marriage. I don't care how good friends you are with your mother-in-law, but that is just, that's a lot of, that's asking a lot of them.
Kara, what do you think?
I think stay, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in the same situation. We decided to downsize 2.5 years later. 79 houses later that we've looked at, and the amount of money we've paid in storage to store all of our stuff has not been an advantage. So they think they're going to leave with all this money, but they're going to end up spending it on storage and other things. So I say stay unless your intention was to move.
Dan, whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side. Well, they didn't give us an amount that they'd be making over what their house is worth. So if it's under $50,000, it's not a lot of money that's going to change their life. He specified that they could go on a vacation. That's not a lot of money. If you're talking $100,000, $200,000, that could be life-altering for them. That's different. But the way it sounds, I wouldn't uproot my family and change my lifestyle for a couple bucks.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Isabel, our audience agreed with you. If your peace of mind is staying in your home and you're happy where you are, then sometimes money isn't everything.
Exactly. Thank you. I so appreciate that.
I strongly disagree with them.
Yeah, Cody, that's the problem with being married, right? I mean, you gotta think about, you know, the balance of, you know, your family's happiness. And while, again, it all looks good on the surface, like, you know, listen, even if they have a space for you, it's just difficult living with everybody in the house. And for your wife to feel like your parents are, naturally, they're usually going to be on your side should you guys have any disagreements or discussions, like, it's just a little bit much.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know. I think the money, the financial security would be amazing to have right now.
Yeah, I agree. All right, if anybody has a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven Cash jackpot is $1,400. Hi, Rich and Ron, right?
Yes.
You guys ready to play today?
Yes, we are.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
All right, Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck, guys.
Okay. So Raven is walking out of here. That big old door is going to close and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, okay?
Yep.
All right. Number one, Adele's dream came true on Sunday when she was finally able to meet The Rock face-to-face at the Grammys. What is The Rock's real name?
Dwayne Johnson.
Number two, Brendan Urie and his wife just welcomed their first child together. He was in the news recently announcing that his band was no more. What was his band?
I don't know.
Number three, Eminem's daughter Haley Jade is engaged. What's their last name? No good. Number four, LeBron James did it. He became the NBA's all-time leading scorer when he scored his 38,388th point to beat Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. What number does LeBron currently wear for the Lakers?
14.
Number five, Paw Patrol launched a spin-off TV series called Rubble and Crew. What's the name of the human boy that calls on the Paw Patrol?
I should really know this. My daughter loves Paw Patrol.
Then what is it, Rich?
Ryder.
Okay.
Ryder.
Let me bring Raven back in. All right.
Yo.
All right, that was a sad showing for Rich and Ron. They only got 2 out of 5.
Not great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Adele's dream came true on Sunday when she finally was able to meet The Rock face-to-face at the Grammys. What's The Rock's real name?
It's Dwayne Johnson.
Yes. Number two, Brendan Urie and his wife just welcomed their first child together. He was in the news recently because he announced that his band was no more. What's the name of his band?
It's Panic at the Disco, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was basically the only guy doing it the last few years. Anyways.
I know. I heard that he like just likes to play video games and didn't want to do it anymore.
You know what? If he managed his money well enough, good for him. Be a dad. Enjoy yourself.
Right. Number three, Eminem's daughter Haley Jade is engaged. What's their last name?
Oh, gosh, I knew this. Mathers.
Mathers is correct.
Yeah.
Number four, LeBron James did it. He became the NBA's all-time leading scorer when he scored 38,388 points, beating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. What number does LeBron currently wear for the Lakers?
He wears 6.
6 is correct. And number five, Paw Patrol launched a spinoff series called Rubble and Crew. What's the name of the human boy that calls on the Paw Patrol?
Steve.
No, it is Ryder.
Didn't know.
I'm sorry, Rich and Ron. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
This is Rich and Ron, and we cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, guys. You're going to have to split it. $1,500 tomorrow, Anna.